Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is September the 21st, 2020. And tomorrow's equinox, in case you didn't know. It's one of those things like summer solstice. It's a satanic holiday for all the New World Order Satanists, so you might want to take it to prayer against them. Anyway, I have the honor to have Professor Paul on, I have Jeff on, and we have a new guest, Heidi, who's going to be joining our discussions from time to time, because we're trying to do this at least once a week, because Paul and I think Jeff are, and Heidi, from what I understand, are pretty much full of the Holy Spirit. God showed me that with Paul and Jeff, and we've got a lot of problems. And Paul, you've been awake for a number of years, 40, 45 years, something like that?
Officially 48 years still.
Yeah. That's a long time. I've been officially awake about 37, pushing 38 years. So, but with that said,
I gotta say, I have been awake for far less than any one of you guys. Coming in at, I'm gonna say January 2020.
You mean you woke up from the virus?
So pretty much, that was the catalyst, indeed.
I think you're selling yourself slightly short there, Heidi. What I've known from you and about you is that you've been very aware. You even had a grandmother, I think, that grandmother and grandfather that were really ahead of the curve, way ahead of the curve on holistic medicine, I think, back in maybe, could have been 1920s, 1930s, possibly.
They really, honestly, they have. In terms of that, just in terms of all of this other, all these other variables, I was completely, my head was in sinking sand. It just truly was. But my grandfather, however, not only was my grandmother very active, she was a nurse, but also became very holistic in terms of medicine. But my grandfather was very well known globally in the ag industry and very well regarded as an incredible man of integrity. So much so that at his funeral, the ExxonMobil vice president and the Cargill vice president came to his funeral and made a special effort to come over and share that with me. So what they equated it to is they take his word on a handshake. They would hands down do that over doing any sort of work with anyone else with a stockpile of, you know, legal documentation. So, but we can certainly get into that, you know, a little bit more, some things that he has shared with me.
Excellent. You know. Excellent. I appreciate that anecdote. That is similar to me. I had two grandmothers, and one of my grandmothers, it was just very important that I knew that Jesus is God, and that if you repent for your sins and trust in him, then you're going to be all right. And she was amazingly consistent with that message across the years, and I truly appreciate that. And then I had another grandmother who was very insistent on the truth, and I asked her some really difficult questions, certainly kind of in that, you know, 10 years old to 20 years old, and you know, she gave me the truth, and I forever am thankful and respect that. And that was part of my awakening, is those two. So, are we ready to go, gang?
Yep.
All right. Well, what we thought we'd do tonight is about 60 minutes of roundtable, and I just want to start off with my newest elevator speech for where we are. And where we are right now is things are cascading and accelerating, and we are looking at a lot of fire drills in the near future. For instance, I participated in a solemn assembly out of Dallas this past weekend, and I'm very impressed with all the people involved, with sincerity and authenticity. And for those of you that don't know, a solemn assembly, it comes out of the book of Joel, but it also is in other books in the Bible, Second Chronicles and other scripture. And the idea is that we all admit that we need God and we need Jesus. And what we do is we confess our sins to one another and we pray for ourselves and our family. And in the Dallas instance, it was to pray for the nation. And I thought a lot of good prayer, a lot of solid Holy Spirit working amidst the people. And it really did take on a focus on the nation. And Stan Johnson is an interesting character. And rather than me describing the whole thing, I'll just a couple of highlights. Stan is still believing that there are going to be arrests. And there is a special prosecutor that is out of Utah. And I want to say his name is John Huber, and yet there's a guy out of Connecticut, and he was Connecticut's attorney general, and just anybody from Connecticut I wouldn't trust. So, Stu or Steve, maybe you got the name right. Maybe I'm a little bit confused.
I think you're correct.
Special prosecutor.
I think you're correct on that.
He's not talking to the press. And Stan seems to think that Huber is going to indict some people, and that's going to set off a chain reaction. So I'd like to start off with that. You guys have any comments on the special prosecutor that's looking into investigating the investigators?
Go ahead, Jeff. Heidi.
Oh, you know, no, not per se, but I do have something that might be linked as you go on that I'll bring up later. But yeah, go ahead.
Stu, what do you think?
Well, look, I've been at this for 37 years blowing a whistle on them. I'm the only guy in the country that I know has a U.S. federal grand jury demand, still active, where a federal judge told the prosecutor to do his job in Denver, Henry Solano. He didn't do it. And this is Judge Richard Mache, who's now retired, who said if he doesn't do his job, you can appear before the grand jury with your attorney, Mr. Webb. I did the filings to do so. It never happened. And I've done it three times, and each time they've tried to kill me. So, you know, it's still sitting out there. It's the Bush crime syndicate. It's the Clintons. It's the now Mizell crime syndicate. That is the old Meyer-Lansky Jewish crime syndicate. It's a combination. And I have never seen an attorney general yet do his job. The inspector generals of the U.S. Department of Justice are corrupt to the hills. All they're there is for is to cover up and obstruct. The Attorney General Bill Barr is the one that did the illegal invasion, made the recommendation of the illegal invasion upon Panama, and he's our current Attorney General. He was Daddy Bush's Attorney General when Daddy Bush was President of the United States, and he covered up all the Iran-Contra affairs, which led to the current worldwide, should we say, disaster that we have, where 400 men control 95% of the U.S. economy. And so I don't see anything. And you look at people like Strzok, FBI agent Strzok, and McCabe, and all the others, all the stooges that lied, coerced, committed RICO against the presidential election, but yet they turn around and they go through a process of supposedly investigations, impeachment, and all the other stuff. I don't see anybody going to jail. I don't see any swamp being drained. The only way a swamp, in my opinion, after 37 years as a whistleblower and causing five congressional investigations, the Keating Five, the Denver Airport, Silverado, and the HUD of 1989, and then looking at bank bailout, what I did there of exposure, but yet nobody went to jail, and Mizell runs off with a $2.5 billion fine, and J.P. Morgan pays about $16 or $17 billion fine, and they escape with over $100 trillion with the artificial mortgages that's turned to derivatives. I don't think anybody's going to go to jail. So I'll just disagree with Stan. I know who he is, but I will disagree with 100%. And anybody thinks something's going to happen, I don't think so. I think the only way it's going to happen is we're going to have to drain the swamp ourselves. That's my personal opinion. And I got that David and Goliath story where it's time to arrest politicians soon. I'll leave it at that.
Well said. Heidi, you want to weigh in on the QAnon phenomenon?
You know, it's so funny. I get accused of even listening to QAnon, and quite honestly, I just don't. I am a person, I go straight to the source. So any of the information that I have literally comes straight off the website of, you know, any entity that I have done any sort of investigation of. So, you know, I would definitely probably point more towards Jeffrey in terms of his knowledge of QAnon.
Jeff, do you want to comment, or should I wrap up the special investigating the investigators, investigating the investigators?
Yeah, I think we can, but I do like what you said. I've got to chime in real quick with Stu. You know, I kind of tend to agree with him that the lack of seeing anything up until this point just kind of seems that, you know, when will that happen? And I think the public is frustrated in the sense that, you know, we expect to see something and we haven't. And a lot of the people that elected Trump, you know, were thinking, okay, this guy's going to drain the swamp. And we put a lot of weight on his shoulders, and yet, you know, we haven't really, as collectively as a public, seen that happen. And all these people seem to walk, and nothing seems to happen. So I think there's a tension and a frustration that's being built up, and it is building. I will leave it at that.
I studied defector testimony way back from the 80s, early 90s, and largely defector testimony from Russian KGB, now the FSB. And what they said is that they were going to use subversion. They were going to infiltrate every area of our government, everything in our educational system. And they called that the Gray Terror. Person that I would recommend people read is Jeff Nyquist, J.R. Nyquist, and I think he does a decent job of explaining the Soviet plan. And essentially, the Great Terror, of course, is that you ruin the rule of law. And when there's no rule of law, when the criminals can do whatever they want and parade right in front of you and nobody does anything about it, then that, in turn, stops civic institutions from working. That's court systems and you know, banking systems, and about everything that you can think of is under civic institutions, the private sector, the public sector, and that interface between them. And then what eventually happens is the breakdown of civil society, and I think we're seeing that in spades right now. The other point that Nyquist makes that I thought was pretty good is he said it will culminate in the overture. And the reason I'm bringing that up is the overture is when J.R. Nyquist claims or alleges that all of the criminals that have been running the show for the last 70, 80 years are going to be exposed. And they will be exposed because there's no use for traitors for the sedition they've done. And, you know, I guess I'm kind of on the fence because a defector, I don't take everything a defector says at face value. And in fact, we've learned over the years, Stu and I certainly, we've met so many instances, so many people that are controlled opposition. You know, what they want to do with guys like Stu and I is funnel us into their movement and get us to go with them. When in fact, what they really are is working for the same people that are behind the communists, the KGB. And I just want to suggest something. For those of you that just blows your mind, how do they do this? You know, how do they infiltrate? Well, the Jesuits would be your best place to start. And I just want to bring up Jesuits were funded and founded in 1534, 1540. And they were so far ahead of what people think of right now. For instance, communism was already a beta test in Paraguay by 1580, and then you got them working on vaccines in India and China by 1600. In fact, during their work on vaccines, they needed a trading post, and they picked a city in Iran as the trading post. Anybody want to guess where, what city they picked for their Jesuit trading post? Tehran. I mean, who would have thunk that the Jesuits would be in Iran? But they're in China, and they really run China behind the scenes. They're in Russia. They run Russia behind the scenes. They've got this 360 going on in both countries where, you know, everybody spies on everybody. I mean, it's called 360. They keep each other in check. So everyone is familiar with being spied on because they're spying on somebody else. And anyway, you can only do that through a very sophisticated organization that does very well with the big plan, the long plan. And the long-range plan is H+. H+ is transhumanism. That means no longer human, augmented human. And H+ is possible now because of the GRINS technologies. And the GRINS technologies are through genetics, through robotics and artificial intelligence, through the Internet of Things, through nanotechnology, and then through synthetic biology. And I want to just try and tie up the Solomon Assembly in Dallas. I've got nothing but great things to say about the people involved. I may disagree with them on some important points, but I don't doubt their sincerity and authenticity. And what were they really trying to do? Well, they were trying to do what happened in Nineveh when Jonah went there. Stan and everybody involved wants to get America more time, more years. They prayed a lot for Donald Trump. And, you know, I guess Trump is a maverick, but in my opinion, he was selected. And he's just another line of people that chaos. That's part of what they do. He's divisive. And they're playing this divisiveness up. And I did watch a couple of television ads. And from the Biden camp, Trump is a liar. And from Biden's mouth, he's going to do four things. Everyone's got to get tested. Everyone's going to wear a mask. Everyone's going to social distance. And everyone's going to get vaccinated, which is my next topic for the roundtable. Very interesting that Walgreens, the pharmacy, cares so much about me that they notified me recently that they've got a couple of vaccines for me, the flu shot and the shingles vaccine. And I have to tell you, there is just no chance that I'm going to take either of those. But last year, people only died of COVID. Nobody died of the flu. Nobody. You could die in a motorcycle accident and die of COVID. And so I just turn it over to you guys. I think what they're trying to do is just keep that vaccine rhetoric going and normalize it. And all the people wearing masks, they get the call. They think it's like Joe Biden says, it's your patriotic duty. To you guys.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, yeah, I think we're getting the guilt rap, and I know we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but, you know, the wear versus the non-wear, and there's a lot of hostility in that. I do kind of want to say, you guys bring up so many things I think about, I want to respond to, and we kind of move on to the next topic, but just backing a little bit up, and maybe you're aware of it, I don't know, but the Fort Huachuca in Arizona, which is the non-lethal deception element of defense for the country, where they work with thought, and they work with implanting thoughts through frequencies or radioactivities or, you know, frequency of radiation, where we are the subjects, that at one time this was all wired. And getting kind of to your point, Paul, why do we have this groupthink? Why are we collectively a hive? What's the connection? Oh, grab my mask. Oh, get my flu shot. This robotic action we take on, which permeates this hive, this group. And so, is there something, and I'll throw this out there, you know, we do use the non-lethal weapons department on the border, from what I understand. You could put a holographic image of an angel, a demon. You can incite fear, various feelings, anger, happiness. This can be done with the current state of technology that we possess today. So when you say, hey, I need my flu shot, what's triggered? Hey, I need my vaccine. What is triggered in our mind? What are we being implanted with, gentlemen and ladies, who we don't know about? Or are we? Back to you guys on that.
Go ahead, Heidi. You want to comment?
Well, yeah, I would say, you know, there's so many different layers to all of this. One of the things I would definitely say is compliance, obedience, essentially establishing control, identifying who is not compliant, who is a free thinker, who has developed critical thinking skills. I do a lot of work on social media, and to see some of my wildly intelligent friends who are completely oblivious to that agenda. They, you know, and anything that they have not heard of course, they, you know, they cry conspiracy theorist. But ultimately, my point being is, initially, I believe, out of the gate, it is all about obedience, compliance, falling in line. Like you said, Jeffrey, you know, just being robotic, you know, and as I do some research even on, you know, the vaccination and the components and what it's a part of, and ultimately having technology in it that, you know, connects us to 5G. And as I do more research, I see how 5G is going to be implemented in what's called smart pavement systems. And that's going to be part of new, they call them integrated roadway systems, part of smart cities. And, you know, we are being programmed. You know, you even listen to that. I remember as a child in the 70s, we'll return you back to your regular program schedule. I mean, it's just been in our face nonstop. But there again, I guess back to, you know, parlaying this into just thinking of the terminology that is constantly, we are constantly inundated with smart cars, smart systems, you know, as if anybody that doesn't want to be a part of that is dumb. You know, the whole shaming aspect of this entire global agenda is just, it's mind-blowing. But as I was uncovering things the other day, you know, going, like I said, straight to the source, and the technologies that Gates, of course, would like to have us all become a part of, and ultimately, the patent is already there. You know, having us connected to the 5G so that we can somehow become, like, in my opinion, I believe this is kind of what it is, essentially hamsters on the wheel. We generate energy. We are, you know, utilizing our bodies, our transhuman, but, you know, people take a vaccine, the transhuman bodies. I mean, talk about being a part of the, in my opinion, the mark of the beast.
Total robot.
Amen. Amen.
Could we be a Manchurian candidate?
Well, by the way, you guys, that is... And I laugh sometimes at that because I might cry. I remember someone very close to me at one point, and this hasn't been that long ago, maybe 5-7 years ago, she said to me, I am not sure my thoughts are my own. I have no clue where some of these thoughts are coming from.
Wow.
And, you know, I remember the first Gulf War, and we were told... that rock music was blared at the Iraqi troops that were dug in the desert, and that, well, eventually, you know, after 40 days of rock music, they were just, you know what, they couldn't stand any more rock music, and so they surrendered. Well, it turns out really what they were doing, they were using psychotronic weapons, and they were thinking they were hearing from Allah, and Allah told them to surrender.
And I will confirm what you're saying, because I remember a dear friend of mine who was a Marine at the time who was over there, and that's exactly what he told me.
That's what they did, Duke. And if everybody remembers the end of the Iraq War, when you know, a whole division or whatever it was, there was only a couple dozen trucks or something, they had tanks and so forth, mainly trucks, were kind of like went off the side of the road and people were falling out and they found picked up their bodies and they were dust. It's because of the death ray. It's because of that laser they developed, the U.S. government, with alien technology, which is fallen angel technology, and they use it in Panama. And they were picking up bodies all over the place in Panama. And what were they doing? They were in dust form. Now, if you get hit with the death ray, well, there isn't any dust left to be found.
Wow.
The towers on 911 got hit with it. So that's, you know, where the technology goes as far as what they can do. Now, what I hear is if people don't comply and people don't take the mark of the beast, people are going to get hit with the death ray. They're going to get rid of them because everybody's already a signature, they call it, on the planet. This is what I've heard from U.S. intelligence for years. We're already all a signature on the planet. They have us identified. And it's through computers beyond computers, which is out there in Bluffdale, Utah. And by the way, they were on my website today, and I believe yesterday too. I'll have to go back and look at the date on it, but it was yesterday or today. They're blending together from their attacks, but that's artificial intelligence running out of there to determine what people are putting on their websites, as an example. The information. What is it that Stu Webb's talking about? What is he posting up? Etc., etc., etc. And the bots that they use are incredible. And artificial intelligence, and we talked about algorithms earlier, Jeff, and they're tailed into the back end. Well, I found out my main two cyber terrorist attackers. One of them's coming out of the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office in Kansas City, Missouri, Gene Baker's office. We're division number 5 of the FBI. A couple of goons, I trailed directly back into the ass end of the building where the parking lot was. And he didn't like that. We were running 80 miles an hour down the freeway. When I hit downtown, he was running lights. I was running with him, and then he got stopped because of traffic. And all of a sudden, I look in my rearview mirror, and I'm sitting a car back from him because I thought he might jump out and pull a gun. I was going to mow him down with a car, right, or shoot him one or two. And I was sitting in the car back, and all of a sudden I looked in my rearview mirror, and I got a federal police on the left of me in an SUV, a Ford, I believe it was, a white one. And then I had one behind me. I said, oh, crap. So I cruise. I'm doing the speed limit, 25 on through the next 2.5 blocks. And I saw him doing speed demon thing, and I saw where he turned. So I waited until I got down there, and I took a right turn. And the feds stopped right there. It was two fed cops. I'm pulling up the street, and I'm looking left and right, and I'm watching the right. And all of a sudden, I can see the car going in the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. Now, it had been tailing me around for quite a while. But I got the same people that tried to kill me in 2010 in a car crash is the same company the guy worked for that was doing cyber terrorism attacks coming out of a company called Wholesale Internet. So I'm going to have a special report up later after this show for everybody to go view Bluffdale and review Kansas City. And you know how Kansas City got caught? Basically?
Great job.
They had to put porno up on my new forum, Stu Webb forum, folks. Go check it out, click on it, and you see what people are posting. But someone had to come in there about 4 different times. They did this, trying to create accounts and put porno up there. One of them was child porno. Links on the site. I mean, this is how disgusting the United States government is. These division number five, Strzok's types, they're mental cases. And what I mean by division number five, he was running the show. And then you've got broken down into local division number fives, which consist of local police, local sheriffs, FBI, DEA, different agencies that are part of this force, strike force that they have, set up to monitor people that speak out openly against them, or especially whistleblowers is what they dispose of. But this is all part of the New World Order game that I've found over 37 years. This is the game they play. So, you know, if you want to stay alive, you got to keep the noise level up, or else you end up dead, or you can take their payoffs and run and, you know, do your stupid little thing, whatever it may be. But I know a bigger battle we got, and that's all of us are in a jam like I've been in for years, and all of us now are in a jam like many people who are now dead have been in that jam, and now and are dead, should we say. Now the whole planet's getting ready to go through this experience. And that's what I've been trying to tell everybody for the past 6 to 8, 9, 10 months. We're in the Great Tribulation, if you were to call it that. If you were to throw in dispensationalism and throw in everything else, believe me, my belief in Jesus Christ is, it's powerful. I know he's real. I know he's totally real. He puts up with me, so, you know, what can I say? But we've got a battle here, and what's going on? What we're talking about vaccinations, and we're talking about this 5G and radiating us and turning us into little robots. And that's what they intend. They want to, hey, if you want to eat, you've got to take the chip, the vaccination. You're by yourself, mark of the beast. Oh, by the way, we got the DNA changer in there to make sure you turn into a robot. And that's what's in it. I've got a video up on my site about some doctor put out about what's in that stuff. But this is what they think they're going to do to people. I guarantee you they're not. There's a battle going on. And it's a big battle. It's a spiritual battle. And it depends on whether people really want to get deep into it to put a stop to it. And the way you do it is just start praying against them and asking God to war against them. I send out God's warning angels if he listens to me, and he sends them out, but I'm seeing a reaction to things. So if more people would pray, that will help. But we're also going to have to put on what I call the full armor of God, because we're at the point.
There you go. Amen.
You know, we're gonna have to go in and kick some butt, and it may turn physical. If it does, well, I call it the David and Goliath story, you know?
Yes. So. You know, Stu, I've been traveling a little bit here in Nebraska, and of course the unquenchable desire for me to find out what other people think is, quite honestly, God just keeps bringing people to me. I mean, almost unsolicited. Well, actually, unsolicited. That's when I know God is bringing them. It's not me doing it. It's him bringing them to me. Yeah, I've had more conversations with Christ followers, Christians, who truly do see this, see the agenda that is going on. They may not understand all the brevity of things. My goodness, their sensors, you can tell the Holy Spirit has got a hold of their hearts, because they are saying time and time again, the end is coming. It's never been closer. And,
you're very true.
The mark of the beast is on the horizon. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, I keep hearing people being open, asking questions about God. And another friend of mine is Rick Warren's right-hand man in California. And I contacted him early as I was uncovering various different things with COVID-19. And I asked him, I said, what do you think this is? And he goes, biowarfare. And I said, well, what does Rick think of this? And he said, we have a short season. The time is drawing near. And he said, he believes that we are in for a great harvest. So, Sue, I just go back to what you were saying. We got to buckle up. We got to get that full armor of God on. Like Professor Paul was saying, we have got to get the gospel out. I mean, prayer, intercessory prayer, revival prayer, praying for our nation, praying for our leaders, praying for the swamp draining. But collectively, us as Christ followers have got to come together and repent of our own doggone sins, because I'll tell you what, I'm a sinner in desperate need of a Savior every single day. But if I don't go and confess my
sins, amen.
I'm in agreement with that. God, please forgive me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. You're right. Couldn't say it better myself.
Well said, Heidi. And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to include you, is because you really do get out there and mix things up. I give you all the credit, because I follow you off and on, sometimes in fits and starts, but you're indefatigable, or however you say that word, I can't get it all out, but you just you keep going.
I got a new saying here, because I've been using the one, in public from time to time to get people's attention. These masks, this is all political bullshit. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Instead of saying that, I'm going to start saying this is all political bullshit. And when they look at you, I'm going to say it's Satan versus God.
Amen.
That's what it is. That'll really get their attention. Maybe.
The battle is like in so many areas, on so many layers. And the compliance that so far Americans have shown, they're seemingly not aware. Many of us are just not aware. It is a bioweapon. It is a bioweapon. And the same people that dropped the bioweapon on us are telling us to wear masks and shelter at home. And they have their boot on our necks. And if we don't say no and occupy and resist and spread the gospel, then we're not recognizing the time we're in. I am thinking with this Trump peace deal, and by the way, I need to clear the air on a couple things. I still think that Trump is selected and controlled as much by evil as anything. Now, I also understand he's God's choice, and I understand we're supposed to pray for our leaders. And I just don't know what Donald Trump can really do. I know what he shouldn't do. And so far, what he's doing is he's for 5G, he's for vaccines, and he's for dividing Israel. Now, those three things put him in the same league as Joe Biden with me. Now, I know the listeners out there, a lot of listeners are probably pro-Trump, but I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me for taking this position. I think we've got bigger threats from the Grins technologies right now, and the surveillance state, and the H+ agenda. That right now, artificial intelligence or artificial superintelligence is running the show. We are all part of a LARP now. That's a live action role play. And Q is just one example. And maybe there is going to be an overture where all of the leaders' sins and treason and sedition is revealed. And that kind of takes me into a topic that I think maybe is our finishing topic for tonight. We had a bunch of them. That is the September 22nd, the fall equinox. Anymore, when you look at the satanic calendar, it seems like every week there's something on that thing. And these people take their service to the dark entities very serious. And they're out dirtying the area, doing their rituals. And it all kind of got bigger, way, way bigger, after World War II, or during World War II, where backbreeding started in Germany. And the castle there, where they had this plan that they were going to backbreed 200 million super satanic soldiers. And so the whole Fourth Reich was really a setup for what happened after World War II, and that is that you have a bunch of what I call SRA or DID, or there's another term that I'm missing right now. But the point being that a lot of people are born and they're given altered personalities. They're programmed multiples. They're split. And a lot of this happens when they're very young. And right now the estimate is 100 million, possibly 200 million worldwide, and most of them are in England, America, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, France, and Russia. Now, we really have no clue what's going on in China, but I can't believe that China doesn't have many, many super soldiers and program multiples, too, because I certainly have first-hand primary source on North Korea, believe it or not. And so you got all this dirty end of the air that's going to happen tonight, tomorrow night, because, Stu, as you know, they like to start when, the time clock is it's night somewhere else. So it officially starts here tomorrow, but tonight, I think, in many parts of the world, it already is the 22nd. What do you guys have to say about the MK Ultra program and how that was brought over here from Nazi Germany, and that's what we're really up against, and that's the army that is supposed to fight at Armageddon.
Well, the Manchurian robot, the MK Ultra. I mean, I've known a lot of victims of the MK Ultra. Okay, I mean, there's a lot of them out there. I'm trying to think of some names right now that have been involved. But it's not only that, and they did that to see how they could mind control people and so forth, and that led to the technology, my belief is, Paul, of what we have today with the 5G, where they can control everybody with the electronics. But the new Manchurian candidate, should we say, or the new MK Ultra, are these clones, in my opinion. That's what they're developing out of Hope, Arkansas, after 6 to 9 months, whatever it takes to make a full clone of a human being. There's no conscience and no soul. There's no soul, so it has no conscience. That's what we're up against there. I think when we look at MK Ultra, and we look at all the other stuff that they've done and the experiments that they've done, and they've used it for assassination purposes, all kinds of stuff the governments have, it led to, and this is keeps coming back to where I look at the alien connection, which is fallen angel technology, and how they've developed that with the human race since Adolf Hitler, and then a current human race with Adolf Hitler, and then with the Eisenhower 2012 agreement that's now extended into Bluffdale and stuff like that. Okay, the technology is so strong that people have no idea. And what they're doing right now with the 5G, the cell phone towers, the cell phones, Wi-Fi, cable into your house, they've been monitoring everybody since the early 90s with their computer screens. As an example, they stopped Japan and China from selling computer screens until they put a chip in there so they could watch you have sex in your bedroom while your TV's off, if they desired to, if they need a photograph of you for some reason. The technology was 1990s. Now, move it way beyond that, okay? We can go in space-time. This was what Nikola Tesla was doing, two magnetic wheels turning against each other. Our scientist, U.S. scientist, Nikola Tesla, Colorado Springs, there's a museum. I've been there, seen this little energy machine, found out one way it creates, harnesses and creates energy, free energy. The other way it's anti-gravity, it's saucers, flying saucers. And the other way it's space-time, where you're creating a hole and seeing another dimension. They've done that with Montauk. They've done all this. The technology is so bizarre right now that I've mentioned before, these lasers, the death ray used on the Twin Towers on 9-1-1 from Area S-4, they called Area 52, some call it Area 51. It's 50S4. Raytheon, E-Systems, Dallas, the CIA shadow government within the government, Daddy Bush, Raytheon, E-Systems, Dallas, was the ones that shot it. And they needed the energy to blow off that laser to test it on that towers. And they needed the dam. And the Hoover Dam was built for our military out there and our top secret companies that operate under the Department of Defense and other things that go on out there, including Papoose Lake, Nevada, where the aliens have a base that they create toys for the government. Now, they needed those when they built the Hoover Dam, and I think two or three of them, Paul, went to the generators inside, went to the civilian side, that is, you know, Las Vegas and downstream, Arizona, California, etc. The others went to the military. They used all those generators to generate that beam that day that bent and blew those towers apart. Melted them. Just cooked them. Boom, boom. Just disintegrated them. Now, since that time, I'll bring you up to date on toys. So everybody can go out that listens and maybe they examine, find a picture. We'll Google them. The USS Missouri is a perfect example. The most recent one put out, I think about a year ago or something, I saw it on TV. It's kind of oval shaped, and from what, you know, Super Spook Otis Johnson told me in 2006, they go 200 miles an hour, six diesel generators, and go all the way around the planet once without refueling. It's self-contained to where there's they cannot be hurt, it cannot be harmed. It has self-contained death ray beams on it. So if China decides to attack one of them, and it sends off 20 aircraft off its aircraft carrier, and it starts shooting everything it's got in it, missiles, bullets, everything, it self-detects and starts disintegrating everything that comes at it. Plus, it goes after the original source, which is the airplane or whatever. They can pull up that self-detection, and it only takes 6 to 8 man operation. That's it, to run the thing. They can pull up 3 to 10 miles away and better mileage away and cut an aircraft and carrier in half in 3 minutes, folks. Ask yourself, why did Donald Trump put the mothball before the Iranian conflict happened about 3 years ago? Why did he put the mothball all of our aircraft carrier and other boats? We no longer need them. We have these new ones. They take care of business. They can sit offshore 300 miles away off Long Island, off the boroughs, they call them, Manhattan, all that, and they can do to what they did on 911 in 3 hours to all 3 boroughs, all 3 islands, totally destroy them and melt them down. That one ship has that capability. I don't know how many we got out there, but we got 50 states, and I heard we've got a lot more than that parked out there. That's just one of the toys the U.S. government has. And when Putin found out about it, he said, if you use them on us, he says, I'm going to drop in the fault off the New York coast. It's called the, can't think of the name of it, because he called up the NSA and told him about this. He was going to drop a nuke in the fault off the New York coast, about 400, 500 miles out. There's a fault line, Paul. My brain's slipping on it. But he said he'd drop a nuke in it if he had to, which would cause a tidal wave, 1,800 feet tall, would hit the east coast of the United States and go all the way to Mississippi. Now, that's what Otis told me before his death. And because he found out about these lasers. Then about 6 months later, it comes out with a supersonic missile that can infiltrate U.S. airspace. Well, he probably has that. Okay? He's no dummy. But we have certain toys. They have certain toys. We've got flying saucers, 150 of them, the government built back in the 1950s. They're parked out there north of Las Vegas in the hole. There's a hole out there for them. And I mean, like Ed Slade, put the man on the moon, 1960s. What did he say? He was the credited, the U.S. scientist who worked with the aliens at Papoose Lake, Nevada, became my friend, and then they murdered him later. They found 2,000 holes in his head from laser beams, whatever it was, shot him. That's what he died of. Okay, but he answered to Meyer Rothschild, is who he answered to. The aliens answered to one of the 13, those who the scientists used to answer to. Believe me, I know a lot of things. People have no idea. They've got bread, as he said. Stu, they told me to make up this loaf of bread, size metal, size of a loaf of bread. He says, I used element 115, 116, 117, and 118. 118, by the way, folks, is the polium that the saucers are made out of. Now, he says, he fused it together a certain way the aliens told him to do there at the base. Now you're to take that out to our buddy, meet him at the Mexico Pyramid, north of Mexico City. So he met him down there. And he says, oh, you must be at, nobody's around. He says, it's evening, about 5 o'clock, and you know, it's 8 o'clock before the sun goes down, he says, and he's down there. The guy says, you must be Ed. Oh, yeah, you must be so-and-so. Oh, yeah, he says, he's a Nordic-looking character, 7'6" tall, he figured. He says, let me see what you got. And he picked it up. He said, okay, now, he says, take you out there and set it 50 yards away. So he did. He said, now, come back and I'll show you what you made me. He turns around and says, watch it. He turns it into a flying saucer. And then he says, Ed. And he goes, how'd you do that? He says, just think it into a saucer. It goes into a saucer. So he says, Ed, now you do it. He says, I can't do that. He says, yeah, you can't. Close your eyes. He says, stare at the metal. And he says, think it into a flying saucer. And then Ed's thinking the way. And he says, Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. Think this way, Ed. Think that way, Ed. He's reading Ed's thoughts in his mind. And he says, now, Ed, look what you made. Flying saucer. So he took him a little joy ride into outer space and brought him back. Now, he was a U.S. scientist. He was a kind of a one behind in Nikola Tesla. I had the honor of knowing him before his death, and I know a lot from what he told me. Oh my God, him and Otis Johnson.
The good news
Johnson.
For all of us, Stu, is you. The great thing is we get more truth in 30 minutes with you than a lot of 3-day conferences out there that require you to travel and subscribe. And so I am grateful. I apologize for interrupting. We talked about going for an hour. We are at that time already.
Yeah, we're up to 52 minutes, and you're right. But here's what I want to say is the technology is so far advanced. We're in it, living in it now at the very maximum to where the invisibility of people around you, you couldn't believe what they can do. You could have somebody standing beside you because they've got a cloak on and using a cloak like a steel wool pad, Brilla pad, long trench coat. And you can't even see them. Go ahead, Paul.
That goes back to the alien technology and the stargates and all of that that exists, and yet for most of us we are indoctrinated with the university curriculum of scientism, and what's really happening is there's the official physics that we've been taught, and then there is the physics beyond anything that we've ever considered in our university curriculums.
You know, Paul, in the Bible, I think it's in Proverbs or Psalms, the middle book of the Bible, is where the elements are, that these aliens, these fallen angels, are hunting on the planet. They haven't found them all. If you look at the element chart, I don't know what it shows today, you show like 112 or something, man. And I'm familiar that we're up to 129 or 130 around that range in their finding. But they're looking for those other elements. Those elements mean something to them. They can use them. Remember, these characters were up in heaven with God at one time before he kicked them down here. Now, they got to have the human being to do their actions. Just like this, they call them the Council of, of, of 12, Council of 13, devil shows up, the 12 disciples of Satan, that my father-in-law, whatever, lived in him, as Otis said, lived in, now lives in Larry Mizell, lived for thousands of years. He was one of the comptrollers of the 12. Now, these are the other 200,000 of them, they say, that are registered with the NSA that are down here, that are in human form. And 10 million clones out of Hope, Arkansas, that's all top secret shit. Now, the Bible says a third of them fell. That means there's about 333,000. But there's a lot of them, a lot of them that are possessed. Why can't we clean clock on the possession of those? We can do it through prayer, I know that. But we also, I believe, at some point, save the human race. Are going to have to take the toys away from the boys. That's my own belief.
Just to keep the mosaic going, Heidi had mentioned earlier about Ephesians 6:12 about the breastplate and the helmet of salvation and the capacity to do spiritual warfare. I think really maybe the biggest challenge that most of us encounter when we have friends and family that look at us and they use that conspiracy theorist term, which really belongs with mainstream media. The conspiracy theory is the official version of 911.
Conspiracy theory, according to Black Law's Dictionary, I believe it says, is two or more come together to conspire to do something illegal as conspiracy theorists. Conspiracies.
Well, that would be the people behind 911, and anyone that believes the official story, you know, you've got 19 Arab screw-ups in the cave. Well, hey, gang, Jeffrey, you've...
We can go a little bit beyond, you know, if we go 10 more minutes here or so, Paul, we're still good. But you go ahead and close the thing up. Here's the thing. I've spoke my piece. We're so close that we're living in it. And you can see it all around you. So you better have the Holy Spirit. You better be right with Christ. You better be filled up with the Spirit to fight him. And if you aren't fighting him, well, you're going to find yourself in a predicament.
Amen.
Go ahead, Paul. Or Jeff.
All right.
Heidi,
Jeffrey, you did send me some things, and we briefly talked. You've really uncovered some interesting stuff, in my opinion. Do you want to add anything to what Stu has said before we close things up?
Yeah, you know, I guess kind of pointing back to the fact that we know we're in a battle, we know we're in a war, spiritual war. We're a target. And the helmet of salvation, you know, if we're not wearing it, you know, that's our own fault. We need to be wearing it. But we need to see others fitted for that helmet as well. You know, Joel talked about, has anything like this happened in your days? Has anything like this happened in the days of your fathers? We're seeing things that have never happened before. We're experiencing things that have never happened before. We, our family, our friends, the listeners, we are going through a really unbelievable time to be alive. Who would have ever thought maybe the Antichrist is already alive and walking around, which I think he very well might be, probably is, in my opinion. But who would have thought that? You know, we wouldn't have thought that. The technologies, the things that are happening, you know, just like Heidi mentioned earlier, you know, harvesting human technology. We are an energy source as a human being. We can be used atomically for energy to be withdrawn from us, to be used by somebody else, you know, not for God's purposes, but for man's purposes. So evil has a big old red old target on our back, and we need to be, as you say very well, Paul, prayed up, because are we? And those kind of things, if we don't take the fight, and you echo Stu here, I think we've been sitting on our butts too long, waiting for somebody, waiting for a Trump, waiting for this guy, waiting for that guy, to tell us to get up and do something. We aren't. We're lazy by nature, spiritually. And that's part of our DNA. We need to reverse that DNA. We need to be God's people. not RNA people, where we have an altered DNA, the helix gets altered to follow the satanic realm. No, not that. We need God-instilled DNA, and that is the core of who we are. We need to be, as you guys have said, and I'll shut up, but Ezekiel 33 talks about the watchman. And if he doesn't blow his horn and warn the people, their blood is on his hands. And what I appreciate about what you and Stu are doing, and Heidi, where she's at doing, is you're warning. You're blowing the horn. You're blowing the trumpet. The blood of those people is not on you. But if we don't say anything, the blood's on us. The iniquity falls upon us. So there's a very important job to be a watchman, to warn. Are we doing it? I hope so. And do we need energy? And do we need that helmet of salvation? Are we getting bombarded? Yeah, we better have it on tightly. I'll turn that back to you.
Well said. Well said. Heidi, please include your thoughts.
Well, you know, I think, Paul, the first time I ever met you, one of the first times we ever were around each other. I mean, even back then, a few years ago, I just had this overarching, absolute burning in my heart that we have got to, as a body of Christ, we have got to go and proclaim and live out the Great Commission and everywhere, all throughout our sphere. And at that point in time, Paul, I really appreciated what you and Jeffrey had to say in terms of end times, because I, quite honestly, you know, I don't feel well versed in that. But man, do I feel I'm on fire for sure, and you know, the Great Commission. But that's where the body has got to come together. I think a lot of our churches ultimately fell prey to really being seeker friendly, and goodness sakes, while yes, we want as many lost souls won to the saving grace of Jesus Christ's blood and his death and resurrection on the cross for the atonement of our sins. However, God on it, our churches have missed the boat. I personally, as a woman, did not even want to deal with Revelation. Quite honestly, it scared me too much. Now I'm so awake, it's imperative that everyone understands, or at least has the core concept of what Revelation is all about, what end times is. The king is coming, we know that, but in between now and then, man, there is a major battle, a spiritual battle, like you all have discussed, and we have got to be absolutely annoying in our desire and in our carrying out literally the gospel. At this point, I don't give a rip what people think of me. I really don't. When I'm sharing the gospel, if they think I'm the biggest Noah freak, you know, if they call me a Noah-like person, I take that as a huge compliment. And I'm just going to share love, and I'm going to, but love is also admonishing, and it is also saying the hard things. And as Christ followers, as the body of Christ, we have got to welcome accountability. We've got to long for accountability, because, man, we all know the enemy can get right in there and just divide us, and that we cannot, absolutely cannot allow in our ministry, our co-laboring together, all through Jesus' name.
Wow, well said. Just to give the scripture there on the Great Commission, that's Mark 16:15. Now, it's in Luke and Matthew too, but and the Gospel of John, of course, is for the initial believer. That maybe the best text for them is the Gospel of John, and that ties right in with Isaiah. Jeffrey, of course, you got me you know, I talked about Isaiah 30, and then you had me back in Isaiah 24, and I read through 30, and, you know, it's just like all this stuff that you've learned, and then sometimes you put on hold or forget, and then you reread it again, and really the message is, we have a lot to be hopeful about, because God is going to step up big time.
Yeah. You
know, fourth believer, there's going to be victory, and so I know that sometimes if you listen to us, that we're trying to present information objectively, and we recognize that worry and fear have no place in anything that we're talking about. And ideally, what we're trying to do is give people accurate, factual information, well-sourced information. And that's why, of course, it's nice to have a Stu Webb.
Amen to that.
All I have to do is introduce something, and then, you know, if I fumble a little bit, then there's Stu to pick it up. So, hey, you guys, thank you for joining us. And Stu, we got to do this more often. And you've got a forum now up on your website, and I think that might be a place that people can visit and get some more information. And I do think maybe what we can do is if people have prayer needs or they need to contact you, they can find you, right?
Oh, yeah, they can find me. My phone number's up there, email's up there, the whole bit, how to contact, right on front of the site on stuweb.com. And I ask everybody to get in there on the forum, and I made it to where people understand. They see the feed now of the day. So anybody wants to join, but keep the porno off, any of that stuff. Government, you're not welcome either. By the way,
well,
folks, I'll give you a day's worth of two days worth of Stu Webb tracking them to get rid of them as they're posting child porno and other stuff. And where's the lead back to? Your government, folks. Your government. Anyway, I'll post it up in PDF format. Everybody can look at it by tomorrow.
We just scratched the surface again this evening, you guys, but
Let's touch on one thing real quick before we cut it off here, Paul. Okay. 5G is killing us and controlling us. Wi-Fi. You got HARP, which is modification of the weather, dragging the jet stream down. You've got chemtrails, which are lighting the lungs up, and we're breathing all this metal of various types, that they're electrocuting us with the electronics, Wi-Fi, etc. The big thing that people were dying from COVID, so-called COVID virus, what they found is they were lacking vitamin D and zinc in their bodies, folks. Vitamin D and zinc. I think it's important that people understand that. And there's some videos talking about it on my website, as I recall. But we've got to put a stop to this stuff. We've got to stop the weather modification, take the toys away from the boys. We have to stop them and their chemtrails, which are coming from the United States Air Force under Project Cloverleaf. Got to stop that stuff. And there's two other projects they call it. That's got to be stopped. And the only way we're going to stop these things that they're doing to us is to take the toys away from the boys. And the only way we're going to get the toys is we're going to have to arrest a bunch of people in the end. The David and Goliath story. We have to take them down, arrest them, give them their trials, the whole bit. I believe in equal justice. Okay. But is there another way? Well, yeah. Jesus Christ can do it. And he can knock their heads off, and you don't even have to pick up your gun. You don't have to pick up your machete, whatever. Now, with that said, Paul, you want to lead us in prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for Heidi and Steve and Stu, and they're joining us on this program, and thank you for our listeners. And we ask that you give us all the faith, all the wisdom and the power that we need to serve you, to know what to pray for, to know who to witness to, that you bring people to us that we can witness to and share the message of salvation. And we also pray against forces that are doing rituals, likely as we speak. We ask that you bind them and may make them ineffective and you create confusion in their camp. And we ask that you do that in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus. We also ask that this nation recognizes that we exist to serve you and all that you stand for, and that not only is righteousness important, but obedience is as well, and that salvation comes as a gift from you, and it's through faith that you reveal yourselves to us, and that you do your many strange works. We trust in you, and we ask all of those things in Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, can I be so bold for just one moment? In terms of, you know, I am new to this with Stu's.
I'm sorry about this dog in my background. It's my neighbor's dog.
But I want to be bold in terms of, you know, what Stu does and his and how he is able to utilize all his years of research, the connections, the just his dissemination of information. If we are going to do any two things with our money, one, giving it to the church. I mean, just pouring out our monies on the church, on Christian church, the local church ministries, the whole nine yards. But also, people like Stu. I mean, he's a major whistleblower. This is some of the most valuable information we can ever be given. And it's my understanding, Stu has an ability for people to donate. And I don't know any of the particulars, but I just wanted to make sure that I put that out there, that we have got to help fund whistleblowers, and especially Stu. So I don't know if Paul, if you have that information that we can pass over. Okay.
Marty, thank you for saying that. I mean, it helps.
Well, and you know, our point of this show is to inform people. And the reason this has happened is because of Stu. And on his site, and by the way, if you go to Stu's site, it's amazing. It's awesome what he's got there. I mean, it's one of my favorite websites. And so Stu has a PayPal tab, and that's really the quickest way to, fastest way to do things. There are other ways. You can send him a check. He's got his address up there and so forth. But let me just say this, Heidi, because I'm so thankful you brought it up. I tried to give generously to other ministries, and I have been really blessed. I got to tell you, Stu just tells better stories than me. I have a lot of my own, but I've really connected with some really impressive ministries, and they're not the best known, but the people that I connected with are fabulous. Now, one passed away, Dr. Pat Holliday. She passed away about a year and a half ago, and that was a real loss to me, a personal loss, because I really considered her to be my minister, but I had Stu and others. But I am so impressed with so many people. But Stu is obviously somebody that, you know, has been more than a whistleblower to me. He's a dear friend. And what I've always said to Stu is, hey, you know, seriously, Stu, I'm probably only 2 days or 6 weeks behind you. And we all are going to be in the same position you're in. And how we treat whistleblowers and veterans and people who do the right thing, who actually stand up for the Constitution and Jesus, and how we treated them. And I know I've got to stop here because I could go into about six different directions. But Stu, what you do, you got to have a hosting service. You got to have a computer. You got to have phones. You got to have flash drives. It takes resources to do what you're doing. Plus, you got to live a little bit too. I mean, you got to have something to eat, and you got to have an automobile and insurance Got a broken neck and you've been unable to work, and hey, nobody can say until 2018 or whatever that you weren't doing your part. I mean, you were out there hustling, and still, you know, you were a real successful builder for a while, a general contractor. You could do all the work yourself, and you were still making it happen.
Yeah.
And you were taking care of your dad too. And yeah. So I guess I probably said enough, but.
The big jam up right now sure I got is trying to get out of here where I'm living because I was sharing a house with my dad, you know, with the disability, Social Security disability. And he's now in a nursing home. So I'm, you know, thank God the people like yourself and others have helped here and there. It's kept a roof over my head. But I'll tell you what, I had to go. It's bizarre. I had to start another Inspector General, folks, scandal. To get moved into my Section 8 housing that I am entitled to. Seems I had some blockage. I was supposed to move back in June, but I haven't moved yet. And then I could afford to live, folks. But I thank all of you for saying that.
Well, and all of the listeners, too. We really appreciate your devotion and your tuning in and listening to us. And so I guess we'll close it down. Thanks, everyone, and we'll be back soon.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Thanks for the privilege.
Hey, thank you, Heidi. And thank you, Jeff. Let's do it again, all of us. You're welcome. All right, let's all do it again.
All right, love you, brothers.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.